Caroline Charles was talking to Michael Barclay. Well, there's no edition of Private Passions next Sunday, but in a fortnight's time, Michael's Christmas guest will be the actress Dame Diana Rigg. Private Passions is a classic arts production for Radio 3. The producer of today's programme was Sarah Cropper. Well, a very good afternoon to you. Welcome along to Radio 3 from me, Ian Skelly. I'm here to guide you through our programmes this afternoon, which continue in just a moment with a visit to 16th century Italy, the story of the writer whose words inspired some of the great master musicians of the Renaissance. Find out who he was in the Early Music Show, which is next here on BBC Radio 3. That's after a summary of the news this lunchtime, with the time now at 1 o'clock. It's read by Jill Anderson.
19 senior Conservatives have formed a group to campaign in support of same-sex marriage. They include the Mayor of London, Boris Johnson, and the Education Secretary, Michael Gove. David Cameron favours changing the law to allow same-sex marriages, but more than 100 Conservative MPs are expected to oppose such a move in the Commons next year. Opponents of the Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi have dismissed his decision to annul a decree which gave him far-reaching new powers. They say his action is a political manoeuvre and are demanding that he go further by postponing a referendum on a controversial new constitution. The South African leader, Jacob Zuma, has visited the former president, Nelson Mandela, in hospital in Pretoria. Mr. Mandela, who's 94, has undergone tests, but details about his condition are unclear. President Zuma said he'd spent a comfortable night and was looking well. The owners of the Australian radio station, whose DJs made the prank call to the hospital treating the Duchess of Cambridge, have said they will cooperate fully with all investigations. In a letter to the King Edward VII Hospital in London, Southern Cross Austereo said it was taking immediate action to review its broadcasting processes. The nurse who received the call, Jacintha Saldana, was found dead on Friday. Three teenage boys have been charged in connection with rioting in North Belfast last night. Two of the boys are aged 13 and one is 14. They're due to appear at the city's youth court tomorrow, charged with public order offences, including rioting and causing criminal damage in the Newton Abbey area. Police in Bangladesh have fired tear gas and rubber bullets to disperse opposition activists attempting to enforce roadblocks across the country. Police said demonstrators hurled petrol bombs and set fire to vehicles. The main opposition party and its allies are demanding the restoration of a caretaker administration to oversee the next parliamentary election. And the weather, it should stay dry, but with a brisk northerly wind in most places this afternoon. But there could be some patchy showers in northern Scotland, the southwest of England and South Wales. That's the BBC News. It's 2 minutes past one.
Jill, thank you very much. Well, in an hour from now, we'll take you to the 10th British Composer Awards concert, which took place recently at Goldsmiths Hall in London. Performances of music by those composers who won the awards. Music ranging from chamber and liturgical to contemporary jazz and sonic art. That's all in an hour from now. Time first to hark back in time, though, for the Early Music Show, presented by Catherine Bott.
Hello. In today's programme, the life and immense influence of a troubled 16th century Italian poet whose words were set to music by, well, just about everyone. Torquato Tasso. That's a name that gets dropped into programme notes a lot, as do the titles of his two most famous literary works, La Gerusalemme Liberata and Aminta. We're thankful for the Monteverdi madrigals and Handel operas that his words ignited. But the man himself is a bit of an unknown quantity. He had a tragically blighted life and didn't even live long enough to enjoy his coronation by the Pope as King of Poets. But he's worthy of a proper celebration and an early music show to himself with a soundtrack of masterpieces. First, to set the mood, some Monteverdi, the impassioned madrigal from his second collection, Se tu mi lassi perfida tuo danno. If you leave me, traitress, the hurt will be yours. Do not think that without you my life would be wretched. Se tu mi lassi perfida tuo danno, non ti pensar che sia senza te la mia. A lovelorn madrigal by Monteverdi, sung by Concerto Italiano, directed by Rinaldo Alessandrini. Torquato Tasso didn't supply the texts for all of Monteverdi's second book, but his poetry, as there, sums up the complexity and passion of the Italian madrigal. Tasso was born on March the 11th, 1544, in Sorrento, in the Kingdom of Naples. His father was the nobleman and poet Bernardo Tasso, and his mother was an aristocrat from Tuscany. A good start, you might say. But then Bernardo fell foul of the Spanish governors of Naples. He was declared a rebel, and his assets were confiscated. By the age of 8, Torquato was living with his mother and sister in Naples, being educated by the Jesuits and attracting attention for his intellectual precocity and his religious fervour. While visiting his father in Rome, the boy learnt of the sudden death of his mother in what we would now call suspicious circumstances. Her estate, too, vanished, and his sister married beneath her just to get to a place of safety. Father and son, buffeted by poverty and grief, stuck together, and in 1557 Bernardo was offered a job at the court of Urbino, where at least he and his intellectual son could enjoy the high-minded cultural climate. Torquato was befriended by the nobility and grew up to be good-looking as well as learned. He would have to earn a living, though. His father sent him to Padua to study law. But it was philosophy and poetry that filled his heart and occupied his days. At the age of 18, he produced the narrative poem Rinaldo, an attractive blend of classical verse and epic romance. Torquato seems, like Byron, to have awoken and found himself famous. His proud father allowed the poem to be printed and agreed to let his son enter the service of Cardinal Luigi d'Este in Ferrara.
Thank you.
sul carro della mente auriga siedi. Over the chariot of the mind you preside, lovely lady. Words by Torquato Tasso, music by Luca Marenzio, a composer who, like Tasso, benefited from the patronage of the cultured Cardinal d'Este. That madrigal, performed by Concerto Italiano, is from Marenzio's first book, dedicated to the Cardinal. The 5 years, 1565 to 70, that Tasso spent in Ferrara were perhaps the happiest time of his life, despite the death of his father. He was becoming celebrated not just for his poetry, but also for his critical writings on the art of poetry. No one could see into the future, but the rigour of his personal philosophy of poetry was already at odds with his instincts as a writer. And perhaps his fame distorted the picture a little too. One of the most remarkable things about the Cardinal's court was the prominence of talented women. I suppose I should say ladies, given that they were mostly titled. The accomplished singers of the Concerto delle Donne gave regular chamber concerts of musica secreta for the inner circle of Ferrara, and one of them, Lucrezia Bendidio, was possibly Tasso's mistress for a while. Talented, handsome, admired and comfortably maintained, in your early 20s and surrounded by lovely and gifted girls, what's a young man to do? Well, Tasso also wrote more than 500 love poems, many dedicated to Lucrezia and another of the donne, Laura Peperara. Let's hear from the enchanting modern version of the Ferrara Ladies, the three voices of Musica Secreta, singing music by the most prominent composer of the day at the Cardinal's court, Luzzasco Luzzaschi. This is another bit of heartbreak. Occhi del pianto mio, eyes, cause of my tears.
Lasciatemi vivere con mai noi.
Musica Secreta, singers Susie LeBlanc, Deborah Roberts and Tessa Bonner, with lutenist Paula Chateauneuf and harpsichordist John Toll, in music by Luzzaschi. In 1570, Cardinal d'Este took Tasso to Paris, where, sadly, things went awry. Tasso seems to have said something that offended his patron so much that he was obliged to leave his service and go to work for Duke Alfonso II, again in Ferrara, so he was back on familiar ground. In 1573, his pastoral lyric drama Aminta was published, and its melancholy charm was ideally suited to the spirit of its time. And to later times, Mozart's Il Re Pastore and Delibes's Silvia, for example. Back in 16th century Italy, here's a madrigal by Sigismondo d'India. Dispietata pietate, your pity, Daphne, is pitiless. La Veneziana with Dispietata Pietate from d'India's third book of madrigals, Words of Amorous Betrayal from Tasso's Aminta. 1574 saw the publication of Tasso's most memorable and often plundered work, La Gerusalemme Liberata, Jerusalem Delivered. This epic, inspired by Homer and influenced by Ariosto, is a mythic account of the First Crusade, in which Christians fight Muslims in Jerusalem, climaxing with the Christian capture of the Holy City. It's filled with episodes of courage and heroism, and if I mention some of the characters, you're bound to recognise them from beloved Baroque musical masterpieces. Tancredi, Clorinda, Rinaldo, Armida. Jerusalem Delivered is Tasso's masterpiece, but when it was finished, he found himself unable to trust in his achievement, sending manuscripts of the poem to all the important men of Italian lit crit, diffidently promising to follow their advice and suggestions. Well, human nature is what it is, and his talent and success must have irritated some. To a man, they seem to have found something to dislike in its plot, moral tone, structure. And poor Tasso, already conflicted between formality and romance in his writing, completely lost faith in the work. He couldn't have known that it would inspire composers of a much later age, like Brahms and Dvorak. Let's pause now to hear a couple of settings from his own day, beginning with the opening to Monteverdi's Il Combattimento di Tancredi e Clorinda.
Tancredi, che Clorinda un uomo stima, vuol nell'armi provarla al paragone. Facil rambo colei l'alpestre cima ver altra porta, ove d'entrar dispone. Prima che giunga in guisa vien che armi suone che armi che armi suone che la si volge grida
ma tu che porti credo sì
rispose è guerra è morte
guerra è morta poi
disse
io non avrei più darla ti se ne cerchi per te.
Two Baroque settings of words from Torquato Tasso's epic La Gerusalemme Liberata. Nicolas Arnoncourt directing the opening of Il Combattimento di Tancredi Clorinda by Monteverdi, and Evelyn Tubb singing Piero Benedetti's Giunto alla Tomba with the Consort of Music. Full details of all the recordings in today's programme are on the Early Music Show page of the Radio 3 website. What wonderful ardour there is in that marriage of words and music. But for Tasso, life would never be as good again. Not one of his so-called critic friends was kind or intelligent enough to make the obvious suggestion, which was that he'd written something extraordinary which deserved immediate publication. Tasso, already overworked and inclined to burn the candle at both ends, began to complain of headaches and fevers. he cast the Gerusalemme manuscript aside. Over the next 3 years, his physical and mental health declined alarmingly. Another pause for music inspired by his greatest work. Handel's opera Rinaldo and Gluck's Armide both draw on it more than 150 years after Tasso's death. We'll hear first the overture to Rinaldo, played by the Academy of Ancient Music under Christopher Hogwood, and then an aria from Armide sung by Véronique Gens.
Thank you. avait hésité. Est-ce qu'en sa faveur la pitié me veut dire frappons?
Thank you.
music of a much later age inspired by Tasso's words, the overture to Handel's Rinaldo, followed by a triumphant aria from Gluck's Armide, in which she rejoices that at last Rinaldo is in her power. Véronique Gens with Les Talents Lyriques, directed by Christophe Rousset. And mental illness had Tasso in its power. He developed paranoia, claiming his servants had denounced him to the Inquisition. There was no sympathy for him in those days, but conspiracy theories spread. Was he in fact feigning madness to cover something dark in the ducal files? Had he enjoyed a liaison with Leonora d'Este? Probably not, but his poetry offers a tempting claim for the truth of this story, especially when set to music by Jacques de Vertes. Lady, even though my locks are strewn with chilly snow, my heart has not grown old. Love resides there, ruling it in silence.
Thank you.
The Consort of Music with De Wert's Donna se ben le chiome, words by Torquato Tasso. In 1577, Tasso ran away to his sister in Sorrento, but once there, he longed only to return to Ferrara, and in fact his duke was generally more sympathetic to him than was typical of a Renaissance grandee. Eventually he persuaded Tasso to take a course of treatment for his melancholy and welcomed him back. It couldn't last. Tasso quarrelled with everyone and gave way to violent tantrums, and after a year he ran away again, this time all over the courts of Italy, where his fame made him welcome, but never for long. His sudden reappearance in Ferrara on the eve of Duke Alfonso's third wedding could not have been more ill-timed, and after some dreadful self-inflicted scenes, his employer was forced to commit him to the asylum of St. Anna, in the forlorn hope that he would be safe there. More music, a violin sonata by Tartini, inspired by Tancredi e Clorinda. one of four Tasso sonatas by the 18th century composer Giuseppe Tartini, played by members of Accademia Claudio Monteverdi. Tasso was in the asylum for 7 years, in spacious quarters and with a great deal of freedom. He was the subject of much interest still, and a prolific correspondent, always writing fondly of Duke Alfonso. His letters provide the best clue as to the nature of his mental illness, of which he seemed fully aware. He's now considered to have suffered from a form of schizophrenia. During these years, he wrote almost no poetry. His previous literary works passed from his control, so he was powerless to prevent the publication of parts of Gerusalemme Liberata in 1582. He continued to be a deep thinker, though. In 1584, he wrote La Cavaletta, a critique of madrigal writing containing a plea to the form's leading exponents to avoid trivializing Italian secular music. Itene mie querelle, rise my complaints, swift in flight. La Veneziana, with a sombre setting of Tasso, by Luzzaschi. In 1586, the 42-year-old Tasso left the asylum at the invitation of Vincenzo Gonzaga, Prince of Mantua, where he stayed for a while until, feeling neglected, he set off on his nomadic life again, moving from Bologna to Rome, Naples, Florence. A dreary round of welcome followed by exasperated rejection. But after a few years, a ray of hope shone down on him when he was befriended by Pope Clement VIII. In late 1594, he was invited to Rome to be crowned with laurels on the Capitol, as Petrarch had been crowned in 1341. He didn't make it to the Eternal City until the 1st of April 1595, and on the 25th, he died, still uncrowned, in the convent of Sant Onofrio. He was just 51 years old and had achieved almost nothing of literary significance for 20 years. But La Gerusalemme Liberata and Aminta ensured his immortality among writers, painters and composers. Ronsard and Philip Sidney, Spencer and Milton, even Byron, Tintoretto, Poussin, Claude, Boucher, right on to Delacroix, and I've already worked in a few anachronistic composers. It seems fitting to end this story of Torquato Tasso's tortured life with his words set to music by his equally tormented near contemporary Carlo Gesualdo. The Gesualdo Consort of Amsterdam, directed by Harry van der Kamp, sing the first part of Se così dolce è il duolo, if the pain is so sweet. Ah, what sweetness I anticipate.
Part one of Carlo Gesualdo's Se così dolce è il duolo. The Gesualdo Consort Amsterdam was directed by Harry van der Kamp, and that ends today's early music show, which was presented by Catherine Bott and produced in Salford by Sam Phillips. And you can get a free download of that programme from the Radio 3 website.
A fifth symphony of five movements, with at its heart an oasis of peace, the famous Adagietto. Mahler's Symphony No. 5, performed live on Radio 3 by the London Philharmonic with its principal conductor Vladimir Yurovsky. Radio 3 live in concert, Wednesday night on BBC Radio 3 at 7:30.
Back to today, and later this evening, one of our programmes in our Napoleon season is Words and Music, poetry, prose and music on the theme of the Entente Cordiale tonight, the special relationship between England and France. You can hear words by Rambo, Wordsworth and Henry James, and music by Debussy, George Benjamin and Poulenc. That's Entente Cordiale, our Words and Music sequence at 6:30 this evening. But next this afternoon, it's time to visit an important event in the music calendar, which took place in London last Monday. It's the British Composer Awards. And here with highlights from the event are Andrew McGregor and Sarah Moorpeach.
Well, this is the bustle of Goldsmiths Hall in London. We are, of course, surrounded by a lot of gold, chandeliers with real candles in them, and a crowd of composers and publishers all milling around for the British Composer Awards.
Yes, that's the sound that composers make when they're talking to one another. They don't actually get to meet each other under normal circumstances in quite this kind of way. So that chat is what an enormous collection of them sounds like here in Goldsmiths Hall. Well, these awards celebrate the best in British new music. Instrumental, solo and duo works through wind, brass band, community or educational compositions, jazz, an international award, all kinds of categories and all kinds of compositions represented here tonight.
The British Composer Awards are organised by BASCA, the British Academy of Songwriters, Composers and Authors, and the award ceremony is 10 years old this year.
Now we're going to be hearing highlights from the awards, from the various composers, the categories, from the keynote speech as well, and also from BASCA's chairman, Sarah Rogers. But first of all, we've got live music from the ceremony itself and the student competition prize, where entrants write to a very specific brief. And the winner was Gareth Moorcroft.
I saw the competition advertised this summer, and to write this piece for the 10th year celebrations of the British Composers Award. It was an interesting challenge, because to write a piece in a celebratory mood for this kind of thing, I think I tackled that trying to write a very humorous piece.
But then, what sort of parameters were you asked to work within? Did they give you forces, or they said
yes,
they wanted something celebratory for the 10th anniversary?
Yes, yeah. It was to be written for flute, clarinet and bassoon, and players from the Endymion Ensemble will be performing it, and it's been fantastic to work with them in rehearsals. It's been a really good opportunity for me, so I'm very much looking forward to the performance tonight.
Well, the jury thought it was certainly celebratory, and they commented on how witty they felt the writing was. But what about the title, Rondeau, with a question mark at the end, Rondeau?
Yes, I knew that would come back to haunt me. That was the last thing I decided, the title, and I left the question mark there because the piece, though it starts as a rondeau, it starts to question itself and break down, and I think the piece poses questions which it doesn't answer, so I've left the question mark there, and it also makes the players and people listening think about it in a different way, perhaps.
Gareth Moorcroft's Rondo, with question mark in the title, winner of the Student Competition Prize, which Endymion played at the British Composer Award ceremony last Monday. The flautist Helen Keel, clarinetist Mark van der Wiel and the bassoonist Amy Harmon. With 13 award categories to come, we're going to be hearing extracts from the winning works, interviews as well with many of the winning composers whom we grabbed one by one from the after party to talk to them. And we'll also hear a bit of the keynote speech given this year by Ruth McKenzie, director of the Cultural Olympiad. But now to the ceremony itself in Goldsmiths Hall.
The first award this evening is in the category for stage works. The nominated works in the category include, for the first time in the 10-year history of the British Composer Awards, two nominations for music for dance. One was commissioned